Okay, so this is unusual. I'm going to tell you something right now. I was wrong. It happens, you know, and I'm not afraid to tell you I was wrong, because when I saw the case on Double Jeopardy go to the United States Supreme Court, I thought, well, that's a silly case to go to the Supreme Court. You can't go after somebody twice for the same charge. It's called Double Jeopardy. It's a foundational principle of the United States. And the argument was whether you could charge somebody at the state level and then at the federal level and not come under the Double Jeopardy concern if you're a prosecutor. But apparently I was wrong as to how this case was going to play out. Joining me, Adam Carrington, assistant professor of politics at Hillsdale College. Professor, welcome back.
Glad to be here with you again.
Now, I kind of thought this was a cut and dried sort of a case, because to me, if I'm charged with pick your crime, whatever it may be, you can't go after me twice. Well, the state didn't get you, so we're going to go after you federally. But that's not what the Supreme Court decided, is it?
No, and a 7-2 vote. And you said the point that actually mattered to them. It's they still said that if the state government goes after you twice, they can't. The national government can't go after you twice, but what if the national and state government teams up on you,
right,
and goes after you for one thing you did? And 7-2, actually, I think that was quite surprising. The court said, that's fine. And their argument was, yeah, you did one act, but you committed two crimes. You committed a crime against, in this case, the state of Alabama and against the United States. And therefore, they said, because of that, it's two offenses, even though it's one action. And I agree. I think that was really parsing things in sort of legalese rather than looking at the spirit and, I think, intent of the Constitution.
Well, every now and then, I think you and I and probably all Americans are disappointed in the outcome or a ruling that's handed down by the Supreme Court. I'm disappointed in this. I don't intend to commit any crimes that are going to put me into the question of double jeopardy. However, I do believe in the foundation of law, and I do believe that if the government fails to get you or convict you the first time around, they shouldn't get a second bite at the apple. But I guess going forward, if they do in fact play wingman, one for the other or one for the other, however it may go, the feds for the state or the state for the feds, they really can fly as a wingman, can't they? Did we lose you there?
Yeah, I think the thing... Yeah, you did for a second, but I think I got the question. I think the thing to keep in mind that Justice Gorsuch said in his dissent is that, yes, we want to convict guilty people, but think of how powerful and intrusive and pervasive government regulation is now. It's almost hard to do anything without breaking a law, whether you mean to or not. And the idea that the governments could tag team to prosecute you till they get the result they want, you in jail, is, I think, especially disturbing. It was disturbing at the founding. I think it's disturbing even more now, given how pervasive that regulation is. Government should get one shot to convict you, but we've got to protect ourselves from the government just going after you over and over again.
Now, with this ruling, though, Professor, there really is no recourse. And I think that what you said there, I want to focus on a little bit. Because if you get tangled up in the regulatory state, for example, let's say you make a violation that the EPA wants to convict you for a rule they created, not created by Congress, by the way, a rule created by the Environmental Protection Agency, and at the same time you violate a rule from the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. Let's say that's kind of the kind of case we're talking about here. And getting jammed up on regulations, these two entities, these two government entities could play a team sport on you to get the result they wanted, just like you said, couldn't they?
Yes, and that sort of exacerbates what you were just saying. And again, think of the tens of thousands of regulations that get promulgated every year. And I think that's why this case will be interesting to pair up with some of the administrative.
Let him catch up there just for a second.
Those cases about the administrative state that might come out as early as today are going to detail the powers of bureaucrats as opposed to Congress. And if they win those cases plus this case, you're right. It just multiplies the concern of this outcome for future persons that are.
Professor Adam Carrington here, assistant professor of politics at Hillsdale College. And And Professor, I want to ask you a couple more things before we run out of time here today, because the Supreme Court has a couple of dozen different cases that have not been handed down yet. We're almost to the very end of the term here. There are big cases about the census, about gerrymandering, and the case that I think is going to be very telling, this 40-foot cross in Maryland put up by the American Legion back in 1925 to honor those killed in World War One. These are three big cases, a host of others. Do you expect to start seeing them today? Will they come out Monday? I mean, there's some big decisions waiting to come down the pipe.
Yeah, 20 decisions and just over a week before they're supposed to go to recess. I've never seen it go this long. I think at least a couple of the big ones will come out today, one to two at least. And then I think some of the really big ones next week over the course of the week. It's going to be, for those who are interested in the court, it's going to be quite a wild ride over the next 8 days or so.
Never seen anything like it, you said. Why this big log jam? Why did it happen this time around? And we also had Ruth Bader Ginsburg do some foreshadowing, and I think Clarence Thomas might have as well, giving us the idea there might be several cases coming down that are 5-4 splits, as you would anticipate because of the makeup of the court, but maybe more divided than it has been in the past. But why the logjam?
I would give two guesses. I mean, I'm not in the chambers with the judges that keep those very secret, but I would say one would be partisan divides, and the more divided a court is, the longer it might take for everyone to sign off on opinions, to write their dissents and concurrences. And then the second is, even with the two new justices, we still have a fairly old court. Breyer and Ginsburg are in their 80s. Alito and Thomas are around 70. Even though clerks do a lot of work for them, they...
All right, Adam Carrington.
To do when you're getting older. So
yeah, perfect. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll keep an eye on this for everyone. We'll keep everybody up to speed on what happens. We'll probably have you back too, Professor, because obviously these are big cases. The gerrymandering... the census case, maybe none bigger than those, but I think that this religious case out of Maryland, I find the most interesting. Adam Carrington, always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
There you have it. Assistant professor of politics at Hillsdale College. And again, these are big cases. The one in Maryland, the 40-foot cross that was put up in 1925 by the American Legion to honor those that didn't come home from the Great War, as they called it. And now a humanist organization wants to tear it down, plow it down, because somehow... they claim it violates the separation of church and state. If the Supreme Court were to uphold that opinion, that point of view, you might as well get the bulldozers out to Arlington National Cemetery, because that's federal ground that has crosses and the Star of David. And yes, the Crescent as well, all across on the headstones there. So where would you stop? That's probably the most interesting case to me overall. The census question will have great bearing on the balance of power between the states going forward. Because if states like California are allowed to count illegal aliens and then have members of Congress, which they do already, and maintain that, it is, well, it's not ethical. It's not equitable for the other states in the union either. It is Thursday, June 20th, 41 after. When we come back, the big blow up on Capitol Hill over reparations and some different points of view on the Steve Gerber Show.
In 65 years, Enbridge has been safely delivering the North American energy you rely on to fuel your vehicle, heat your home, and power commerce and manufacturing. We're proud to be a part of communities across Michigan and contribute millions in local property taxes each year, which helps support schools, emergency responders, and local government needs. At Enbridge, we're helping to fuel your quality of life. Learn more at Enbridge.com/Michigan. Enbridge. Life takes energy.
Some knowledge belongs to us and us alone. The way our girlfriends walk, the way they talk, the way they touch their hair. We hold details that only a sister can know about her girls. But what about our other girls? The ones that we carry with us every day. Can we describe them when everything's right? Can we feel when something's wrong? Our bond with our sister girls gives life. But knowing your breasts can save it. You don't know what... Go to knowyourgirls.org for the facts you need on breast health. That's knowyourgirls.org, brought to you by Susan G. Coleman and the Ad Council.
Lift off into a good book during this year's summer reading program, A Universe of Stories. Summer reading programs not only foster a lifelong love of reading, but studies show they help students reduce the effects of the summer slide. Don't worry, though. Summer reading is for everyone, regardless of age. Ultimately, the goal of summer reading programs is for all of us to get reading. You don't need a library card. You don't have to read library books. And the best part is, everything is free. So with that in mind, blast off into this year's summer reading program at the Eaton Rapids Area District Library.